Hi and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And as always, I do hope you're well and that you've had a wonderfully pleasant week. Now, I'm really, really excited to introduce this week's guest on the Homeopathy Health Show, and that is none other than Rachel Gedalia, who joins me all the way from Kelowna in Canada. Rachel has studied and is a first-year student completing her four-year course at the Canadian College of Homeopathy. But more interesting than that, and hold your horses for this, no pun intended, she loves horses. And one of the reasons that she actually became quite interested in homeopathy was for the reason of helping her horses, her beautiful, beautiful horses. And we will share some photos of the horses actually on the Instagram reels. So do head over there, like_treatslike. But one of the reasons that she wanted to study homeopathy was also to be able to use homeopathy on her wonderful horses. And it's interesting because as far as, well, let me rephrase. I know so many people who often get very surprised when you say, oh, do you know that homeopathy is just not for humans. It's also for animals. And there's like a, really? And it's like, yes, and it's not just for animals. It's also for crops. And it's also for soil, and it's also for marine life and, you know, aquatic life in general. And generally, when I say that after that, I've just lost them because it's too much. You know, it's like, wow, this is immense. It's amazing. But it's like, this is the beauty of homeopathy. And we've covered actually animals as far as the Homeopathy Health Show is concerned several times now. You may recall Pat Ahern, who joined me for episode 24. And Pat is a dairy farmer from Cork in Ireland. And we spoke a great deal about the work he's doing and the work he did to heal his cattle from mastitis, and also the amazing work that he continues to do as far as treating his crops with homeopathy. And you can find a lot of the information not only on the podcast itself or the episode of that show, but also on the Instagram. You might need to scroll down a bit. But you'll find some videos that Pat especially recorded, standing in a field, no doubt, with eating peas from a pod. So, hey, that's one to remember, isn't it? I also had the good fortune of talking to Tracy Simpson from New Zealand, and she's a dairy farmer as well and administers homeopathic remedies to her cattle very, very often indeed. But, hey, that's enough about my guests. Let's talk on the current and the now, and let's head over to Rachel Gedalia. Rachel, that was a long intro, I know. I do apologize, but thank you so much for joining me all the way from Canada at 8 a.m. in the morning.
The pleasure is totally mine. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant, isn't it, to have you on? Yes. Because we've done a few Mr. Bean impressions, haven't we? And I know the listeners are probably thinking, what are you talking about? And actually, I actually don't know for once. But Mr. Bean, prior to recording, pressing the record button, Mr. Bean seemed to have taken over the show.
Yes. Well, you know, I actually grew up on British comedy shows and British sitcoms, and that's what we had. There was one channel of news and one channel of whatever the British television would have. So the British humor runs deep into my veins.
Oh, brilliant. That's brilliant. Do you remember Norman Wisdom?
Norman Wisdom.
Norman Wisdom, Mr. Grimsdale.
Yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
I can't do the impression. I don't want to embarrass myself, but I do one off air. I'll do one, okay?
Oh yeah, those shows, Have You Been Served, and Keeping Up with the Appearances. And actually, Keeping Up the Appearances, Hyacinth has a beautiful episode with horses, and I just laugh so hard because it's absolutely comical.
You know, Frank Spencer was a funny one, wasn't it? Do you remember
Yes.
Frank Spencer? Was it Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, I think, wasn't it? Is that what it
Yeah.
was called? I believe so.
Yes.
I think so. I think so. I
Yeah.
grew up on it, but I just can't remember because I've got all, because you've mentioned comedy, I've got all these different names coming, popping up in my head now. So, yeah. But that was that. Those were the good times, you know? And also, honestly speaking, it was clean comedy, wasn't it?
Yes,
You know?
indeed. Nobody was laughing on expense of anybody else but the situation. And very just clever scripts, and yeah, it was just pure great humor
It
that
was
I really appreciate.
it was brilliant. And of course, then we had Rowan Atkinson come
Oh
on
my goodness, yes.
and Bean.
Well, Mr. Bean, and then the blank Black Panther that he was at, and that was just
That was
epic.
brilliant. Okay, so that's the end of that podcast then, isn't it? Well, onto yourself, Rachel. So thank you for coming on the show. It's a real pleasure. It's so great to connect, and it's wonderful to have you on to talk about your love for horses and the homeopathic treatment. But before we do that, do share your story as far as going into homeopathy itself.
Right. So when I grew up, my mom was always kind of a natural medicine freak. You know, she was vegan before vegan was even it. She always gave us natural remedies. You know, if you have a headache, you first of all get a glass of water. And if your headache continues, then you would get a mint tea or something like that to soothe that. So, and she would bring us to different practitioners from all aspects of medicine, I would say. Like, we hardly saw a conventional doctor. So we went to homeopath and naturopath, or you know, that word was not invented back then, 40 years ago, but something like that. And we were always tapped into what's in my garden, you know, because different herbs were growing everywhere, wild, and people will grow them in the garden. So there was always that attraction to what's outside that can heal me, that can help me, instead of going to a doctor, right? And majority of the time it worked. And I remember my first visit to a homeopath, or my first visit that I can remember as a young adult, was, I think I was a teenager, and my mom just handed me over to a homeopath and said, "Here, you go there, and they'll give you a remedy, and things will be good."
Wonderful.
And ever since, it kind of sat with me, right? And only when I got to basically work with horses, homeopathy came back as a big kind of big effect, or big thing to add to the repertoire of horse care. And it started with my first course in equine bodywork that I studied here in Canada. It was a few months, and we were talking about different bodily issues, like musculoskeletal issues, tendons and ligaments, injuries. And my instructor at the time, she just said, "Oh, and for that, you need to use homeopathy." And she gave us just, I think, four or five remedies that were really common. One of them, of course, is arnica, roustox, rutagravulans, as well as belladonna. And she just said, "Yeah, if you have bruising, you just get arnica. If you have sprain in the tendons, you give the other ones. And if you have a really severe colic with a lot of explosions, you give the belladonna." So she basically kind of gave us a taste and reminded me, and that taste was reminding me, right, there's homeopathy as well to add to the layer of what we bring as body workers to the horses. And for years, that's what I did. You know, horses that I've seen those muscle soreness, sprains, because that's what body work mainly is doing, is caring for the body of the horse, that their spirit is able to perform, and not just perform in competition, but be present and be very healthy in their beautiful expressions of themselves. Because horses are like dancers. They are expressing themselves through movement, through the body. So if, and I said to myself, if I can help that, oh, that would be great, right? And what was really interesting that here in Canada, we can have the main, I would say, Policrest remedies in the health food store. It's accessible to everybody and it's cheap. So when I tell people, just go and get it at a health food store, and the first question is, well, wait, I don't have a lot of money to spend on something I'm not familiar with. And said, no, it's just $8. Like, it's literally just a little bit more than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. That and is actually very cost-effective.
Yes, very cost-effective. And then when, they ask, the second question is, wait, but this is a human health food store. And I was like, yeah, it works on animals too. Just go and get it and you have it. And then you get the phone call, you know, a week later. Oh my God, I can't believe how, you know, the work you did plus the homeopathy, my horse feels a lot better. So that kind of kept on for a few years, and until I met my own homeopath here in Canada. And one day she told me, you know, I'm doing, and that was during COVID time, that everybody was indoors, a little bit bored.
Very, very, actually.
Right. And she told me, well, I'm actually giving a course about first aid and acute cases for animals. And I thought, oh my goodness, sign me in. I'm into that. And that was 4 months of a course, a correspondence via Zoom. And that truly opened a wider door for me in homeopathy. So when I completed that course, I was able basically to see an animal in distress in an acute situation and try to help, right? Because she taught us how to use the repertory, how to take a case, what is important, what is not important. And that was an eye opener and a heart opener as well, because when you're really able to help those beautiful friends of ours, you know, four-legged friends, to feel better from an acute situation, that's where you kind of say, wow, I need to dive deeper.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And all my career, the horses actually were leading me into the next step. And first it was the body work. Then in the body work, it was different modalities of fascia release and cranial sacral and just deeper and wider understanding of their anatomy, physiology, and mental, emotional, and spiritual as well, who they are as a being.
And actually, I, you know, just on that point itself, it's interesting that maybe some people may not be aware, but horses are extremely emotional animals, and they have very strong feelings, especially for their carers or their owners, you know. So, yeah, it's so important. You know, they have a beautiful way of expressing love and care for somebody they feel safe around, right? And of course, you know this better than anyone.
Absolutely. And horses are, and more they show that to me, they are, it's almost like a pod of whales, right? You don't see a whale by itself. You know, very rarely it would happen. You see a pod, and a pod is something of strength, a community, is safety, obviously, safety in numbers. But also there is development and an intellect development inside that pod. And it's the same with a herd of horses. You know, and just a couple of days ago, I went up to see the horses in the pasture, and they were all six horses, beautiful little herd, around their hay bale. There is a big hay bale, and they were all eating together. And I thought, this is just incredible to see how they're all sharing food, a resource. And then when I got closer, it was almost like I felt I was kind of tapping into a conversation. Right? Mm. Like a family conversation on a dinner table, and I was able to just come and sit with them or stand with them and just listen to the chatter. And I was like, wow, you guys are eating, but it's not quiet. It's actually, you guys are conversing. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that, this is what is like, wow, horses are incredibly intelligent beings. And, you know, a lot of people are telling me, don't just anthropomorphize them and put your human character on them. But I think they are putting their characters on us. They have expressions, they have needs, they have, you know, they love to be touched and groomed, and they love to interact with each other and play. So they're not just what we call a stock animal or, something to use and forget about it in the field after that. No,
it's a companion, actually, isn't it, Rachel? Yes, it's a companion for life.
Exactly. They have their own intricate society. And if we are quiet enough to listen to that or to see it, they really show you amazing things. And I feel that's how my horse was guiding me through all those years to go and pursue more and more and more. And then last year it was, or a year and a half ago, I had a little bit of a breaking moment. I also do trimming for the horses, so podiatry, and it is hard job on the body. And I had a breaking moment, and I just went to the pasture to sit with the horses and just think, what am I going to do? I can't do it any longer. My body's aching. And my horse just came. I was sitting on the pasture, on the ground, on, you know, earthing myself. And my horse came, and he was standing above me. And just kind of, it felt like he was consoling me and saying, hey, it's going to be okay. And I was like, what am I going to do? This is, you know, a good main of source of income. And then that thought came to mind, how about going to homeopathy school?
Mm.
And I'm looking at him, you know, he's on top of me. And I'm just, really? Did you just plant that thought in me, or where is it came from? But it didn't matter. That thought was there already. And that seed definitely had to be groomed and nourished. And, you know, I came back from the barn and started right away to research which school to go. And yeah, and that's kind of, here I am a year later and almost, almost done with first year. So I'm really excited.
Tell me, as far as the horses are concerned, what do you, and homeopathy, where does it come into play? Is it daily occurrences for well-being, or is it just as and when required? And also, I forgot to ask you, how many horses do you have?
I have one horse, but he lives in a livery with six others, and they're all a very cool herd of mixed geldings and mares, so females and males, and they have about 5 or 6 acres of hills and bush and forest to roam and just be horses, right?
Mm.
And homeopathy comes almost on a daily matter, because life is affecting horses the same as it affects us, right? Changes of weather, they fall, or they poke each other, or they, you know, play a little bit rough or something like that, and then they're sore a little bit, or they have some tummy upsets or anything. Like right now, actually, I'm dealing with a sore eye that, because of the heat, and we have a lot of bugs around here, quite vicious bugs in Canada. I don't know how it, yeah. So
it's not like that for us here. It's probably because we hardly get a summer anyway. I mean, most of the time it's raining.
Right. And here, well, this week it's almost 40 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
And the bugs, we have horse flies, deer flies, house flies, black flies, any color of the rainbow of flies. And of course, the horses are being affected from that. We have other bugs that they are, anyway. So every day almost is something that requires some attention, and I prefer to give that attention with homeopathy because it works, right? So the first, this year, for example, the first bug bite that my horse got, he ballooned. So he had quite the reaction, and I'm looking at him and I'm trying to observe very objectively, as we need as homeopaths, and not kind of get emotional about, oh my God, my poor horse. And the remedy that came to mind from that observation was histamania, right? To care for his histamines. And I gave him his remedy and the swelling went away in a day. And I thought, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. Like every time that I use homeopathy and it works, I'm amazed.
honestly, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? At times I get patients through, and in fact I have to say, because I'm treating a few horses here in the UK as well as cats and dogs, and the response time is just amazing. It really is phenomenal. As far as animals and how quickly they react, and touch wood, I've never had any animal with any adverse reactions. It's just worked, and it's worked miraculously, you know.
Yes, exactly. And I think because their vital force is so pure and without any destructions of modern life destructions like we do, it goes very quickly to equilibrium and balance when we present the right remedy or the right substance. It can be a herb or a flower essence. And I've treated my horse in so many different cases, and every time it's like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And of course, the horses in the barn, it's kind of funny, because when the animals in your barn know that you know, what to do in cases of emergencies, they actually will come and search you and ask kind of, hello, can you see me? I'm not well. What do you have in your kit? So, the dogs, the cats are actually pretty good in the barn, but the dogs and the other horses are showing themselves to you and asking for help. And of course, some of my client horses that I see, in acute cases, I say, well, it would be really nice if you have a homeopathy kit and, you know, with a little book, and then you know what to give when, right? And then it gets people, I find, very empowered, because by the time they're waiting for the vet, it gives them something to do. And majority of the time, it's very beneficial that they have to basically phone the vet and say, the horse is fine right now, so you're not, either you're not needed, or maybe you can come, but just to check, but the horse is actually feeling a lot better. So I'm amazed at how quick it works and how beneficial it is as well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And also the fact, isn't it, Rachel, that animals they're not biased. They're not biased.
No.
They're territorial, which is normal. So are humans, right? We're very probably more territorial than the animals, right? You know, who's parked in my drive, who's blocked my drive, and who's on my land, and blah, blah, blah. But they're not biased, and you know that purity is it's nice, isn't it? It's just so nice, right? There's
yes.
You know, you mentioned about their vital force, and there's so much truth to that, because animals are very pure, and yes, they have been programmed. Of course, they have their role on this planet, in this life, and they need to fulfill that, and whatever that objective is, okay? But alongside that, you know, the emotional element is there. I mean, I see so many, I know this is going to sound odd, but you see so many videos nowadays where people have caught their pet at the right time, where it's expressing an emotion. And you can't make that up. You know,
no.
You see with your own eyes and you think that's love, or that's care, or that's an animal protecting somebody else from being hurt. How beautiful.
It is. It's truly heartwarming to see that, because I think as a human society, we have gone away from that. And nowadays we kind of think, oh, a person is kind to me. What's in it for them?
Yeah, how sad that is, though, but it's true.
Right? And instead of receiving kindness with open arms, and the animals don't have that train of thought, they just give for the sake of giving, because what I see in my my work and my time with horses, they are trying to reach a certain level of tranquility. It's not necessarily numbing or very low vibration, but it's a sense of regulation that they can work with. And whenever there is dysregulation, they will try to bring regulation to the environment or their space they're at. And I've seen it time and time again when, especially this spring, I introduced a mare that came for rehab at under my care. Mm. She had tremendous amount of physical ailments. And when I saw her, I knew it was also emotional and mental distress. And the moment she came, she drove actually close to 6 or 7 hours to come to the barn where I'm at.
Ooh, wow.
from where she was, because I said to her owner, which was my friend, I said to her, you have to bring her here. Like, you cannot do this rehab where you're at because you don't have the conditions there to really reset that nervous system and that life force. And the mare came, and the first day she went with my horse and another horse that was there at the time. And immediately you can tell how the other horses were starting to regulate her. And that, obviously we gave her homeopathy as well, but all of that together was creating this regulation and creating tranquility in that space, right? Mm. And it was pretty amazing process to see how this mare got back to herself, and now she can actually do her job, right? Whatever it is in the herd, sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. And you see the level of care that the horses are projecting to each other and giving to each other. It's really, really heartwarming. And I wish that a lot of horses will come and just spend time with horses, not even riding or doing anything, just doing nothing, right? The art of being, or just being, and observe the horses, because I feel they have a lot to offer to us as humans.
Mm, absolutely. You mentioned actually about mindfulness with some of the information that you so kindly shared. So do talk to me about that, because I know you do a lot of work with horses. It's not just the physical body itself, but you help facilitate in their self-development, which you've, of course, touched upon here. But how does mindfulness come into this? Fascinating, by the way.
Yes. It's so about 7 years ago, my personal journey kind of brought me to, well, I've been always interested in yoga and meditation. It's something that has been in me ever since I was 12, to do yoga and meditation. And then I got into a course with my own mentor about energy healing. And of course, I take it to animals because that's my main interest. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I started to notice that every time I lived in a different province and in a different farm, but every time my friends will come to the farm and we will go and hang out with the horses, my horse will kind of poke his head into the conversation as if he has something to say. And I start to observe that. And he was just standing there as, you know, listening, taking on. And then every time my friends will leave the farm, they would live in a different state. And that was fascinating to watch. You know, they came either with some, not necessarily always troubled, but whatever the visit was, there was a different energy that they left with. And they always wanted to come and visit with the horses, because it was so special for them, not necessarily to go for a ride, but just to hang out with the horses. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. Horses are, as you say, or all animals, they're non-biased. Horses are non-judgmental. So it's very easy to hang around non-judgmental beings. And And I remember after one in particular visit, my friend came to visit me and we needed to go and bring the horses from one pasture to another. And I said to her, "Oh, here, hold this horse for a moment. I need to close the gate." And she looked at me kind of frozen. And what do I do? I've never held a horse before. And I said to her, "Just be yourself." And she's like, "Oh, I know how to do that." And the horse just stood beside her, very good, waiting for me to go and close the gate. And that was that. And I thought, wow, that was interesting. Just to say to a person, just be yourself. And the horses accepted that. And I started to tap into more of this work. And I found that we call it here equine facilitation, experiential learning, or facilitated equine experiential learning. And I did this program, 6 months of learning how to facilitate sessions with people and horses on the ground. We're not riding. And basically, the horses are bringing something out of you that you need to look at. Whatever it is. And sometimes you're coming with already an issue that you would like the horses to reflect upon. So I took that program and started to work mainly with women and young women. And it was so profound to see the changes in them, changes in posture even, and all just working with the horses and guiding them, basically just asking questions, right? I mean, we'll go and connect with the horses. So A, you learn to connect, because I think a lot of people have forgot how to connect truly with another being. And after that connection, we just ask, okay, what is coming up today? And, you know, the horses never, they don't have this kind of agenda. It's like whatever you bring into the surface, they will work with that. And then my job is just to observe and bring back that observation to the person, because I don't know the story they're coming with. And the horses don't know the story as well, but the horses feel that vibration and that energy that comes through the person who is interacting with them. And I had a young girl that came and we went to connect with the horses. And she looked at me and she said, "I'm just having an anxiety attack right now." And I said, "Okay, well, what do you want to do?" And she said, "I just need to sit on the ground." I was like, "Perfect. Let's just sit on the ground." And we followed that authentic need. And we sat on the ground and she so-called have an anxiety attack. I mean, from the outside, it looked like nothing. But who knows what's going on inside. And the moment she sat down, one of the horses came and stood beside her. And you can't make that stuff up. And I said to her, "Okay." And I guided her through some exercises of some breathing and connecting to her body, connecting to the horse. And then she looked at me quite surprised and she said, "I have an anxiety attack, but the horses are around me and they're not running away." And I thought, wow, I bet in her life, whenever she has an anxiety attack, everybody runs away, although she needs that help.
Yeah, indeed.
And it was the first time that she actually received support while she's having that. And when I asked her, "Why do you think it is that the horses are around you?" And she said, "I think because I honor my need." And that was to sit down and ground. And I thought, what a beautiful understanding for life for a young girl. She was, I don't know, 17, 18, that whenever she honors herself and her needs, society actually can be around her and not run away. And that was such a profound moment. And after a few sessions that she came for a few weeks to work with the horses, her mom wrote me the most heartwarming letter that her daughter is doing socially a lot better. She's able to bring what she learned from the horses to her life. And And that's the biggest gift, right? To be able to be there for someone, and for the horses as well, it empowers them as well to see a person tap into their power in a good spot.
That's a very powerful story. Thank you for sharing that, actually. It just shows you the beauty of horses themselves, but and also the beauty of humans, you know, and how you know, we can be very synergistically aligned, you know, at the right moment, at the right time, you know, a horse or horses, you know, that's when that relationship forms. And like you've so eloquently said throughout this episode, giving examples where you've noticed things with the horses, that's what it requires, observation, doesn't it, and time.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you just take your time and come in without a certain stiff agenda, right, and just hang out with the horses, hopefully they are in a natural or like natural environment for them, because I find it hard when horses are in stalls or boxed or in small pens, or horses that don't have the ability to go and touch another horse and be social, and their fences separating them. I find those horses are in distress, and it's hard for them then to hold space for you as another being because they are dysregulated. So to me, having a herd of horses that is regulated, and then you can go and just sit there, and horses honor authenticity because they're very authentic. If they are angry at one member that kind of cut them through, or they will tell them, but then they will tell them and the episode will be done, right? It's like, I'm angry at you, get off my space, and then it's done. They're not holding on to those emotions. They are flowing, right? They're flowing with those emotions. They let them flow through them, and they're not holding on to years and years of anger or years and years of, that is if they live as they should in a herd with a big enough area to move around. And horses are tremendously, admiring that authenticity. And whatever it is, if you're mad or if you are disappointed or if you are distressed or panicking or if you're full of joy, or it doesn't matter what the emotion that you bring, as long as you own it and not try to hide it, that's what they admire, right? That level of authenticity. And then they can work with you no problem. But if you are suppressing things, they kind of look at you and it's like, no, you're not real. You're hiding stuff. And we can't work with you because you're not tuned to yourself. And if you're not tuned to yourself, you cannot start to regulate. And we don't like that. And they have, and they have this ability to come and pull that authenticity from you to the surface so you can see what you need to deal with right now. And so that is the equine facilitation world that is very, very amazing. And horses can not just take you into places physically, but they can take you places spiritually and to your inner self, which is quite amazing. And I think that's why they work very well with homeopathy, because that's what homeopathy does to you as well, right? It kind of allows you to tap into your life force and into your spirit and bring and show that, right? Bring that out and show that out.
That's, you know, it's been Rachel, it's been an absolutely wonderful conversation, you know, and may you go on to great successes, continued success, should I say, because you already are successful. And I hope that, you know, with your course that you're doing, you have a resounding success with that as well. And also, you know, may it long continue, the treatment of homeopathy that you're giving your horses. You know, may you be greatly successful in that as well. So I really want to thank you, actually, for coming on and sharing your passion, which is so, so evident, and your love for horses and homeopathy and the treatment the using homeopathy for the treatment of horses. It's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful conversation. And of course, we're going to keep in touch. And it'd be nice sometime next year to get you back as well. Talk about how the course is going and what's new.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I always love sharing my horse stories and my passion with anybody who's willing to listen. And yeah, and thank you for the opportunity to show more and more people how we can use homeopathy in a very effective and not just cost-effective, but very effective ecologically to, you know, humans and horses and other animals and creating this, you know, bringing more light into this world and spreading it. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet, or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.